Romans 7, we're just going to jump in, like in the middle of a conversation. I delight in the law of God in my inner being. I like the law of God. I like what God's word says. But I see in my members, in my body, another law waging war against the law of my mind. In other words, hey man, I love this. I know God's word is truth. I know he wants what's best for me. Dude, I also want to do my own thing. I know nobody here has ever felt that way, right? Yeah. And making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members, in my body. I have the desire, now watch this, I have the desire to do what is right. I ain't got the ability to carry it out. I'm having a problem with it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How do I get out? Oh, I hate this. Now, you may know the first part. If you follow Jesus, you know the first part. Heck, if you were ever a kid, if you have a kid, you know the first part. Don't do that. And they're like, yeah, no, mom doesn't want. It's not a good idea for me to do that. I shouldn't do that. Hey, what are they doing? That. Right? That's just human nature. But this last part, wretched person, wretched man, woman that I am, who's going to deliver me? I'm tired of this. I need help. I don't want to stay like this. I don't want to know truth and walk away from truth knowing that God's ways are best, and yet I can't seem to do them. And the things that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Wretched man. Why does this feel foreign to us? Oh, not the struggle, but the crying out, God, I need some help. God, I don't want to be like this anymore. And yes, we could turn to Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation. We could get there. But my question is this. Why does that wretched man that I am, God, I need more of you. I'm tired of this. Why does that feel so foreign to us? And it's really just another way of asking the question we asked at the beginning. This is where we have been. We said in biblical times, and we showed, holy men of old, they cried out, Lord, I need more. Paul, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being like him in his death. I want to know him so well, I want to even fellowship in his sufferings. I want to know him that well. Oh, crying out, Lord, whatever it takes, one thing I desire, that I would dwell with you in your temple forever, the psalmist says, just one thing. We looked at, historically, men have cried out. Brother Lawrence had the best quote, I have had such delicious thoughts on God that I'm ashamed to speak of. Dude, what are you thinking? But he desired God. And we said even nature itself is groaning for completion, for restoration, for things to be set right. And so historically, biblically, even nature is crying out for wholeness and for completion in God. And we simply ask the question, what's happened? Why don't we? Well, why isn't that not a cry of our hearts? And there were three things that we looked at as possibilities. One is idolatry. And idolatry is simply this, I have a desire. It's just a desire. Desires aren't wrong. But the moment that I close my hand around it and make it a non-negotiable, it becomes an idol. Hey, God, you can have everything in my life except this. Not this. Nope, you can't have this. That's idolatry. And if you'll remember, God says, I will only talk to him about his idols. Hey, Lord, I need idol. Hey, Lord, would you? Idol. Let's talk about that. I'm more interested in relationship with you than I am in comfort in your life. From idolatry, it goes to pride, because if I have this area and I know better than God in this area, there's pride, and it shows up in, hey, I'm okay, but man, those people over there are jacked, Lord, yeah, to help them. I'm now the judge, and I'm here to help everybody else become what they ought to be. Aren't the people like that fun? Aren't they great at parties? I'm here to tell you where you're wrong. Hey, thank you so much. And then the third thing was, sometimes it progresses to the part that there's a hard heart and they're given over. And God says, you can have at it. That's what you really want. Have it. And that's scary, where you don't even hear God anymore. You don't even sense his presence or conviction. The conscience is seared. And so what I want to do, that's review, is I want to go big picture and just build out the human nature, or the nature of mankind. And I want to tell you again, it gets dark. And all I did is page through some, I started in Genesis and just started paging through. And you need to know, man, the Bible won't hide nothing, right? There's nothing in this hidden. People say, well, this is in the Bible. Yeah, but it didn't say it was right. So we're going to jump in. We'll just start with the very first thing that you see right after the fall. When they were in the field, Cain stood up against his brother Abel and killed him. That's early on in Genesis. That's like in the beginning, right? And God says, you're going to go out and you're not going to be with your people anymore. And there's going to be a mark on you so people know to watch out because you killed somebody. And Cain says, I'm being punished more than I can take. Even at the very beginning, he just killed his brother. And he says, well, this isn't fair. So human, isn't it? I know I killed him, but it's not fair that I would have to suffer consequences for that. Oh, that is so human. You got a kid, you know that one. What do you mean I have to go to bed early? I didn't do anything. You beat your brother in the head. Yeah, but why do I have to go to bed early? He was looking at me. So human, that's where it comes from, right there. You see that? Why do I have to? Let's go further because it does get dark. The Lord saw that man was very sinful on the earth. Every plan and thought of the heart of man was sinful always. Now, we're talking about the flood, right? We're talking about God just saying, I'm wiping them out and starting over. And when you see sinful, it seems like God is being really judgmental. What do you mean everybody's sinful? Come on, Lord. Here's how he defines it. Watch this. This is how God defines, in this context, sinful. The earth was filled with people hurting each other. Why wipe them out? Because if I don't, they're just going to keep on. And there's going to be rapes and murders and beatings and torture and babies that are, it's going to go even darker. And I'm not allowing this to continue. That's Genesis 6, guys. That's not far into this thing. Let's go a little further. This is Abraham with Sarah. He's married to her. She's a half-sister. They come into a land where there's a king, and he knows he's got a beautiful wife, and the king's going to have eyes for her. And he says, you know what, just tell the king you're my sister. You know what he's saying? In order to protect me, marry the king. Sleep with him so that I'm protected. And every man in here ought to be angry when you hear that, because that's not a man. He's not protecting his wife. Just say you're my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and because of you, they will not kill me. He's afraid the king will say, I want that wife, kill Abraham. So he pimps out his wife. Again, how dark, how evil is this? I'm not going to say what I was going to say. If you're not angry as a man, you need to grow something. I'm trying to think what that is. By the way, I just got this new energy drink. It's called BAWLS. It's really good. It's got guarana in it. I don't know why I thought of that. I'm just saying. Let's go a little further. This is Lot in Sodom. Two angels come to visit him. Again, I was just flipping through. This is just easy. Two angels are in his house. Where are the men who came to you tonight? The other men in the village say, bring them out to us so that we may lie with them. Now again, I don't think they're saying let's cuddle. I don't think that's what he means there. I think there's something else going on. And Lot says, my brothers, please do not be so sinful. Because they're going to force himself on these angels if they're allowed to, these angels who appear as men. And again, the idea of sinful is hurting others in this context. And there's something about living in a corrupt area. The Bible says that Lot tortured his righteous soul by where he lived. It begins to warp you just a little bit. Let me even go one step further. Could I just put forth the notion that you and I have been a little bit warped by where we live? Does that make sense? It has affected us. We're constantly being discipled by our culture, by our world, even by our church. It's sometimes in ways that aren't good. We have to always go back to the Word. So our church culture can even do this sort of thing. My brothers, please don't be so sinful. Watch what Lot says. See, I got two daughters. They even had a man. I got to protect these guys, but these are just girls. It's just women. They're my two daughters. Let me bring them out to you. Do to them whatever you want, but do nothing to these men. Again, how hard must your heart be? How seared must it be to offer up two virgin daughters, your own daughters, to these guys to do with what they want so that you can protect the men in the house? And if you were to look at it and say, hey, they were giving more value to men than women, I would agree. And the Bible does not say that's right at all. In fact, it's part of what happens here next. The Lord poured fire from the heavens upon Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed those cities. He said, I had enough. That ain't happening. Got to go a little further. Like I said, it goes dark. Got to go a little further. There's this thing that's repeated in the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is perfect if you kind of want to understand how cultures can go so far astray. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. A king was somebody who represented God to the people. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right. In those days there was no godly authority in America. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That almost sounds like that could be true. Just putting it out there. Now let's go to what happens in the book of Judges. At least one of the times. It was easy to turn here. I just quickly. Certain sinful men gathered around the house. So a Levite comes. He brings his concubine. She's property. She's like a wife, but she's really property. And again, the Bible doesn't say it's a good thing. He brings her and he's staying at a house because if you're traveling, you need to stay somewhere in hospitality as you take him. He's in a Jebusite area. Certain sinful men saw him come in. They gathered around the house. They beat on the door. They beat on the door and they said to the owner of the house, bring out the man who came into your house so that we can have sex with him. Again, I didn't specifically pick it out because of the sexual, this particular type of sexual element. It was just, man, I'm just turning in the scriptures. Seriously. We want this guy. We need some strange. Let us have him. No, my brothers, I beg you not to be so sinful. Again, sinful, hurting others, forcing them. This man has come into my house. Do not do this sinful thing. Now, see, I'm good with all of that. This is where it goes really dark. Here's my daughter, once again, who has never had a man. And here is the concubine, the woman who belongs to the man. And again, the Bible doesn't say that's good and right. Is simply reporting what is going on. This is the owner of the house offering up the two women in the house. Let me bring them out. Put them to shame. Do to them whatever you wish, but do not do such a sinful act against this man. How wicked must your heart be to do something like this? The Levite, this is the guy that concubine, took hold of his woman, his property, brought her out to them. The man had sex with her. All night until morning, against her will, forcing her. When the sun came up, they let her go. The woman came in the early in the morning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her owner was. She lay there until it was light. Her owner got up in the morning. He opened the doors of the house. And I want you to watch just how hard his heart is, how cold he is. He went out to go on his way, saw the woman lying at the door of his house. Her hands were on the steps. She'd made it that far. He said to her, get up, let's go. He gave her over to be used all night. He comes out and says, all right, let's go. And if something in you doesn't just want to throat punch the guy, sorry, Zuckerberg, there was no answer. He put her body across the donkey. She's dead. She bled out. They raped her until she died. He put her body across the donkey and started on his way home. When he went into his house, he took a knife, took hold of his woman, cut her into 12 pieces, arm by arm, leg by leg. He sent her throughout the land of Israel. So this guy who offered her up, who didn't care that she was dead except that he'd lost his property, took her home, sent the body parts throughout Israel to start a war with the Jebusites. Based on what he had done, he's just offended that they didn't return his property in good condition. How evil is this? And so from there is war and destruction. Because in those days, there was no king in Israel. Now those are just the beginnings. If you delve into the Old Testament, you've got Moloch and Israelites, people who were supposed to worship God, offering their babies in sacrifice to this death god to bless them. You've got King Saul killing the priests at Nob because they helped David. You've got David's son raping his half-sister and David turning a blind eye and not saying a word. And on and on and on. There's violence, there's death, there's destruction, there's using others. So what you see now in America, and some of it isn't nearly as dark, but some of it is, right? That's not new. It's just new to us, right? We've been in this protected shell for a while, and it hadn't been as bad, and we haven't noticed. And in fact, at best, you got new twists on old sins and lies. And maybe technology can make things easier and faster. But human nature, that ain't changed. It ain't changed, man. Humans are humans. Always have been. You can look at Rome. You can look at Caligula. You can look at the Roman parties they would have, and they would bring in slaves, and they would torture and kill them for sexual gratification. True story. They used to do this thing during the time of the early Christians. They would burn Christians to light parties, seriously wrap them in pitch, light them on fire, and as they're screaming, they get their parties lit up. Humanity, right? You can remember the times, because everybody likes to bring it up, of religious folks, Christians, finding witches to kill and taking delight in it. How evil is that? You know, World War I, World War II, and our recent history, world wars. Got a guy who wanted to destroy whole races of people. Maniacal little dude. Tuskegee experiments, you remember this? Let's take the black guys. Let's go ahead and give them syphilis, let them spread it to their families so we can watch and see what happens. That was our government, folks. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to trust the government. I'm just saying. There were women who worked at a watch factory. You may have read about this. Remember the watches with the little dials that glowed in the dark? And there's this radiation-based thing. Then they would take these little paintbrushes, and they were told to do this, because kind of lick them because it would paint on better, and paint onto the watch hands. And the women were getting sick and dying and developing tumors in their mouths, and it was ugly. And they brought in company doctors because they liked their profit to say, no, no, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. Keep doing it. That's not that long ago in our own history. The largest criminal fine in history was who? Do you know the company? Pfizer. Advertising on every single news channel. By the way, ain't nothing bad to say about that company from any one of those news channels. Got too much money coming in. What I'm trying to build out is this: corruption and human nature hadn't changed. So if you look back and all the things we had just talked about, what do we blame? Do we blame the video games? What, was Abram playing too many video games where his wife got pimped out? Was he playing GTA? Did he learn it from that? Is it TV and movies? And, well, they didn't have TV and movies, and I don't know if their music was Cardi B. Porn culture, they didn't have that. Did they take God out of the schools? That's what you take. They took God out of the... Dude, no. They didn't have our school system. Those things can be harmful. They're not the cause. Certainly not in biblical times or in historic times. Knowing the cause, and we're going to identify it, tells you what to fight and how. If you know the cause, you know what to fight and how. And our problem is, I think, I am so enamored, you are so enamored by our culture, by our news, by our run after this. This is wrong. Hate these people. Cancel that. That we've missed looking for the cause. And if you don't know the cause, you don't know what to fight or how to fight. And then when you connect the consequences, it can tell you what's wrong and what's really wrong and why it's wrong. So if I don't have the right cause, I'm straining at gnats and swallowing camels. I'm like a guy who sits down to eat a whale, starts nibbling at the edges and says, I'm sure I'm going to get this thing. No, dude, you're just nibbling at the edges. You have to identify the root. Cause. You have to. So the cause according to God is this. This is the ultimate cause of all the things that we've talked about, and so much more that we could, right? Here's the cause. Sin came into the world through one man. Bill Gates. No, that's not true. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Did you catch that? Sin came into the world through one man, and it says that death through sin. Sin brings death, and it spreads. Death spread to all men because all men sinned. Scripture will say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, but those people over there. Yeah, but Abraham was janked. Yeah, but that Jebusite. Yeah, but hold on. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are made to, and it says fall short, we're made to image His glory. We're made in His image, so we're supposed to image His glory, because that's what images do, to reflect His glory so that He is glorified. That's the goal. Glorify Him by imaging, reflecting His glory. We referenced this earlier. Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption. Even nature itself groans with the fallenness that is part of our world. When you see the hurricanes and the earthquakes, and it wasn't designed to be this way, that's part of the fall. Part of the fall. So the cause is fallenness. And the reason you have to know this, it changes how we see politics, schools, media, movies, music, weapons. You can make all the laws you want, but if you got lawless people, you just got more laws that people don't do, right? Laws don't mean a thing. In fact, if you don't prosecute the laws, they don't mean anything. And so, sure, I can try to change some things. I can advocate. I can vote. I can pray. You can as well, and I'm all for that. Culture can make, and it's true, culture can make evil more permissible and possible. I think we're kind of living in that time now. But that's not the root cause. Without wholesale change in hearts, we're nibbling on a well and thinking we're going to get that whole thing down, and we're not. Now, it can make changes. It can. But it can't solve everything. And it's provable. Like the goal of government, the function of government, according to Peter, God's goal, God's function in giving government is that it would restrain the sinful nature. It is there to punish evil and to reward that which is good. And this is provable that it works. There was a time, I'm old enough to remember, some of you may, way back when, where you knew that you don't go to New York with a wallet on you because, man, they're going to pull you into an alley and you're going to get robbed, right? You just knew it. And then there was a time where New York got much safer. They cleaned up the streets, they cleaned up Times Square, and now it seems like it's going the other direction. The only thing that's changed, and it's not partisan, the only thing that's changed is what government is doing. Literally, that's the thing that has changed. If you say, we're not going to prosecute, well then, if you're not going to prosecute, let's do it this way. If you're not going to prosecute crimes of theft up to 1,000, then I got my eye on a TV from Sam's Club that's about $900. They ain't going to stop me. Their employees have been told, don't stop anybody running out the door. We'll fire you if you stop them. Well, then what's to stop me? In fact, these days, I can throw on a mask and get applauded for it. Hey, at least he wore a mask while he stole the... It's weird, man. What is rewarded is repeated, right? What is punished is diminished. If I get the reward from doing evil, I'll continue to do evil. And so, yeah, vote, yes, advocate, yes, pray. But in the end, if you don't change the heart, nothing changes. And so the fall says answers must come from an understanding of human nature. So there's a bent toward my own self and away from God. Bent towards evil and away from God. And what is reported is, rewarded is repeated. And where there's no government restraint, there's more evil. Even worse, where you've got government that themselves don't follow laws, why should I? You're living in that time, right? This is where we are. Not a political message, just a let's top down look at things. So knowing the cause tells you what to fight and how. What am I fighting? A bent away from God and towards self over all else, because that's what it is. And how do we do that? Through changed hearts, through the gospel is the primary thing. All the rest of that is good, and we should. Like the other things, sure, man, that's how Christians bless society. Vote for those who care about restraining evil. Absolutely. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I ain't playing that game. I got no faith in any party. If you do, I just going to pray for your, bless you, your little heart. Because, man, ain't no faith in any of them. But yeah, absolutely. We help restrain and we bless society. I get that. But in the end, that's only part of the deal. If hearts aren't changed to the gospel, nothing changes. So we cry out to God for all of this to come to a close, because we look out and we see pain and suffering and evil and women being trafficked and kids being stolen. And man, if your heart doesn't hurt, people are caught in addiction and it turns them into completely other people. At my point in my life, 58 years old, I have way too many friends who are trying to recover from addiction right now. Man, I applaud them. I'm praying for them. I am for them. And my heart hurts that they've dealt with that and their families have, honestly. So part of the angst and the desire for God is that there would be restoration. And I'm not going to see that if I'm busy looking at, well, we just need to get the right people elected. Hey, how many times you've been trying, how many years you've been trying to do that? Where are we at now? That's not your answer, sunshine. And it can become an idol. Yeah, vote for him. Yes, when you got evil people, it gets worse. No doubt. But that's not your answer. Knowing the cause tells you what to fight and how. That's the fall. Connecting consequences tells you why it's wrong. Let me show you this part. We just read this. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin, death spread. Let's look at the consequences. Desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin was fully grown, brings forth, there's that word again, death. Here's the consequences. Death to God, death in relationship to others, death in relationship to self. Spiritual death, relational death, and then my own heart becomes hard. My conscience gets seared when I walk in that sort of stuff. And so spiritually it looks like this. There's idolatry. No, Lord, you can't have this. There's a God in my own image. I love Jesus. I just don't think he would ever, I don't think he'd ever say bad about, I think he made you this way. And I don't think, you know, all of those is I don't think. None of those is the scripture says. I've made a God in my own image because I'm in sin and I want a God who's in an image of mine who will like what I like and hate what I hate. Relational, when I'm in sin, there's pride. Fight, slander, division, and then death of the conscience, this hard heart, this lack of restraint, this lack of ability, because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The fruit of the flesh is no control whatsoever. Just feel like I'm overrun. Death spread to all men. It's contagious. Always is, man. We're always evangelists. When I was very young, 19, 20 years old, and into the things that would get me high. I liked to find others who would do that with me, and I would even introduce them to it. Man, my heart just weeps at that now. And I've often looked back and I've wondered, did some of them struggle their whole lives or even die through the very things that I introduced to them? Because we're always contagious. If I find a good movie, I'm going to tell you about the movie. If I like a good song, I'm going to tell you about the song. We're always evangelists for the things we love. We're always contagious, including the things that would destroy. Check it. Although they know God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, they applaud others who practice them. They applaud others who practice them. Why? Because we don't like to do things alone. We don't like to think we're alone. We want a crowd with us. And so that's how it spreads. The consequences of sin is death that spreads. Truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The consequence of the fall, the consequence of sin is slavery, slavery to self, to ego, to purchases, to addictions, to whatever. The consequences of sin are always there. Always. If I had cherished iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. What are the consequences? Lord, I need help with. Lord, would you help me with my job? Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so, they're sick. God says, let's talk about the sin in your heart first. Let's deal with that. Because if you're going to hold on to that, we ain't on talking ground. And it leads to spiritual blindness, which is self-deception. I'm doing just fine. Lord knows, at least I'm not one of those politicians in Washington. Appearance over substance. I can look pretty godly on a Sunday morning, and so can you. Self over God and others, because that is one of the roots of sin. And then right in my own eyes over truth. I think I'm doing pretty good. In those days, there was no God in Brian's heart, and he did what was right in his own eyes. Societally, you see it this way. You see war, you see exile, you see mass atrocities. You see preying upon. You see profit at all costs. Death, enslavement, tyrant. I mean, you see these things. I don't even have to build them out. So knowing the cause tells you what to fight and how. The fall is the issue. All the other things, consequences of the fall. Connecting the consequences tells you why it's wrong. There's deception. There's death. There's destruction. So we want people to know Jesus because that's the answer, but we can't force it. And we want to, so what we tend to want to see is, we want to see beyond consequence abatement. Do you know what I mean? Like our whole culture is, we'll just find a way around the consequence. Okay, the consequence is, let's find a way around it. And this is where it all splinters. I want to look at my culture, I'm going to say, these people, them over there, they're bad. Oh, Lord, would you do something about them? I'm angry at all the traffickers. I'm angry at human slavery. Sex slavery. I'm angry at the drug dealers. I'm angry at the politicians. Oh, yeah. But they're not the problem. Listen to me. They're not the problem. Scripture says, this is Jesus talking, with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. But Lord, they're evil. With the judgment you pronounce. But Lord, you don't know what they're... Yeah, I do. With the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. They're not the problem. Yeah, but I don't human traffic. Hey, good on you, Brian. Way to go. You want a cookie for that? I don't deal drugs. I'm not a politician. Oh, thank God. I don't. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? You don't notice the log that is in your own eye. According to Jesus, I do apparently have a log in my eye. According to Jesus, I'm not sinless, pure, perfect, able to correct everyone else. That was news to me. Why do you see the speck? You don't notice a log in your own eye. Jesus says, I got a log in my eye. How can you say to your brother, hey, let me deal with this. Let me get angry at that. Let me help you with that. You're jacked. When there's a log in your own eye. It doesn't say don't help others. It says you look at yourself first. That's what it says. You hypocrite. Always a good day when Jesus calls you a hypocrite. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Two things. The problem isn't out there. It's not. And a negative feedback loop exists. There are consequences. I can't yell at them, don't do that over there. You people over there, don't do. I can't do that when I have sin over here. Sometimes respectable and hidden. Like nobody's going to come up to me and talk to me about my greed or my envy. Those are respectable, right? My ambition that causes me to... Nobody's going to talk about that. To put others last. My sin is part of why my world is janked. Oh, your sin is part of why our world is janked. Because we always affect others. My addict friends, none of them are an island. They have friends and they have family that they have put through heck on earth. Sanitize for your protection. And if I'm looking at everyone else, I will see it all plank-eyed and I'll never really understand my issues. Don't be deceived. The Bible says God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why... Are you perfect? Oh. Knowing the cause tells you what to fight and how. It is the fall. That's what I'm fighting. I'm fighting a heart and a bent away from God. Connecting the consequences tells you why it's wrong. There's deception, there's death, there's destruction that follows in the wake of following headlong after sin. Spiritual, relational, self. The fight is in the heart, nowhere else. And when I taste freedom from God, when I get that peace, when I get that sense of freedom, hey, Lord, I just want to confess, Lord, I give you all of me. I lay me down. I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Not just a song, but a heart cry. Man, I get that taste of victory and freedom. I want more. When I connect the consequences of my life to my own sin instead of blaming others, rationalizing and saying it's unfair. Oh, I'm so close to freedom, man. So close. The struggle of Romans 7, listen to me. Why do I do, oh, wretched man that I am, feels foreign for the same reason that I think the problem in our world is someone else or something out there. If it's out there, man, I can fix it. I'll vote for the right people. We'll have the right laws. We'll just get that guy back in office or that other guy out of office or so. We'll keep him in office, whatever it is. Something about the office. We'll fix it with laws. We'll fix it with shunning and canceling. We'll fix it with hating and separating. If we're fixing it that way, man, there is no need whatsoever for God. And so there's no angst for him. There's no desire for him. I can fix it with my laws. I can fix it with my morality. We can get kids out of schools and into new schools. We can, hey, man, advocate whatever you're for. It's not your answer, though. Not long term. Here's what I'm fighting. I'm fighting the fall. Fortunately, the gospel is more than able to deal with it. I ain't doing drugs no more. I'm not an addict no more. Oh, I'm still Brian. I still screw up, but not in those ways. The gospel changes us. What I fight is the fall. Where I fight is, well, I'll start in me. And if I start in me, then it will work through me because we're all contagious, right? I can lead you astray. I can lead you closer to God. You can do the same with every person in your life simply by how you live, act, react, speak. The gospel is this. God so loved the world he created, the people he created, that he gave Jesus. That's the gospel. That whoever believes, places their faith in him, will not experience eternal death, but instead will experience life, because the consequence of sin is death. He'll experience it starting now. That's the gospel. That's what we want to live out. When I know God's goodness and I know my sin's consequences, I desire to be delivered by God more than I desire judgment of people who sin differently. Let me say that again. Listen, we're almost there. We're just about finished. Listen, when I know God's goodness and I'm absolutely convinced of the goodness of Jesus Christ and my sin's consequences, it's not all of them out there. I desire to be delivered by God more than I desire judgment on people who sin differently. That's the shift. Oh, I can still say all those things are wrong. We do. We should. No problem with that. But I desire God more than I desire those things. God will deal with them. I can't stop anybody anyway. There's that angst. Who will deliver me from this body of death, wretched man that I am? God will. That's your start. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God will. That's your start right there. I'm always going to be contagious, and so are you. I want Jesus to be the very center of my life so that what spreads is the desire to know and walk with him rather than just rationalization for sin and making people like me. Right? I don't want to be the guy who's applauding those who are doing that which kills them because sin brings death. Now, in a moment, we're going to pray, but before we do, I'm just going to stop right here. Questions, comments, disagreements before we pray. We haven't done that in a while. Questions, comments, disagreements.